Good afternoon, and welcome to Coastal Conversations here on WERU. We explore issues facing Maine's coastal communities through dialogue with people who live, work, and play on our coast. From fisheries to tourism, from energy to environment, from economy to ecology, we go beyond the social media soundbites, probing deeply into complex issues and solutions. Coastal Conversations is supported by Maine Sea Grant in partnership with Skudik Institute and the First Coast. This is Natalie Springle, and welcome to this month's episode of Coastal Conversations. Our show today is about marine debris. Marine debris is trash that ends up in the ocean, and it's something that today's guests are working hard to address. To learn about marine debris, we recorded a conversation between Carrie Kazor of Maine Sea Grant and members of a community action coalition dedicated to tracking marine debris pollution throughout the Gulf of Maine. In this coastal conversation, Carrie speaks with folks from Maine Marine Trades Association, Maine Island Trail Association, and Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. You'll hear about impacts of marine debris on communities, wildlife, and ecosystems, as well as simple steps people can take to help prevent trash from entering our shared waterways in the first place. So let's get started.
This is Carrie Kazor with Maine Sea Grant, and today we're going to be talking about marine debris. Now, what we mean by that is basically human-sourced trash that has entered our waterways, whether it's freshwater, our oceans, and it doesn't belong there. Recently, Maine Sea Grant collaborated with some partners. We're going to introduce them in just a minute. And we formed a community action coalition to start tackling this big issue of marine debris, trying to get ahead of it, trying to prevent it from entering the ocean in the first place. Now, this is a highly collaborative project, and we also want to collaborate with everyone on this initiative. Our key message is that we all have a role in contributing to marine debris, and we all have a shared responsibility for preventing it from entering our shared waterways. We're not pointing any fingers, and we're all in this together. Today, we have a wonderful panel of people that are highly invested in this topic. They're going to introduce themselves, talk about why they care about this issue, some of the impacts, some of the things that we can do about it, ways that they're making a difference. And I'm going to turn it over and start with our first panelist.
Thank you, Carrie. My name is Stacy Kiefer. I am the executive director of the Maine Marine Trades Association. We go by MMTA. And our association represents the boating industry in Maine, boat builders, marinas, boat yards, boat dealers, retailers, and more businesses. We have members across the state and even on some inland lakes.
Hi, and I'm Brian Marcarell. I'm with the Maine Island Trail Association, MITA, or MITA. We are a statewide nonprofit that manages the Maine Island Trail, a coastal water trail that spans the entire coast from Kittery up to the Canadian border. It consists of over 200 island and mainland sites that are open for public recreation. It's places you can picnic, places you can camp. These are islands and places on the shore that are accessible to recreational boaters.
I am Monique Coombs. I'm the Director of Community Programs for the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association, or MCFA. Our mission is to restore the fisheries in the Gulf of Maine and sustain Maine's fishing communities for future generations. Our office is located in Brunswick. We were founded by fishermen in Port Clyde, but we work with fishermen from most of Maine's fisheries all along the coast of Maine. I run two programs, Fisherman Wellness and Working Waterfront, and I'm also a fishing family. I live in Harpswell, and I'm married to a commercial fisherman, and I have two kids that fish.
Stacy, can you tell us a little bit about why Maine Marine Trades Association cares about this issue of marine debris?
Sure. The boating industry cares about having, a healthy marine industry, both recreational and commercial boating, and healthy waters that people can enjoy and access for recreation, fishing, and sea farming. Boaters want to look at beautiful scenery, beaches, they want to look at wildlife. They don't want to look at debris and plastic. And during the pandemic, we saw an increase in boating, and that made us realize that new boaters, not everyone grew up boating here in Maine, so new boaters needed to learn to boat responsibly on many levels.
That's true for us as well at the Maine Island Trail Association. We're a recreational water trail for small boaters, and Stacy's right. People who are out recreating on the coast of Maine don't want to look at trash. They come here. We put these little logbooks on the islands, and people can sign in. And a lot of the terminology they use is, "This place is beautiful. It's pristine. It's an opportunity to leave the world behind," and that. That's hard to do if you're staring at a bunch of plastic and washed ashore debris. So it's a big part of the island stewardship equation for us. We spend a lot of time bringing volunteers out to clean shorelines of marine debris, over 7,600 hours of volunteerism last year on the trail alone. Most of that was dedicated to removing marine debris, and these are from places that get cleaned pretty routinely. So it's an ongoing issue, and one that we spend a lot of time and resources on.
Of course, I agree with Stacy and Brian, and those things are incredibly important for commercial fishermen. There's a few other things as well. Things like damage to gear, it can be incredibly expensive. I know it seems maybe hard to conceive that just simple marine debris in the water can damage gear, but marine debris really has no size limits. So if there's larger floating pieces that fishermen can't see, or that they run into, unfortunately, that can cause damage. Therefore, it's also a big safety concern. Having to look out for things in the water can be, stressful in a potentially already stressful situation sometimes. I also think fishermen care so deeply about the water when they're pulling up their traps or their nets and there's trash in them. I can't help but think that sometimes fishermen take that personally because they care so deeply about the water and trying to make sure it's clean, that when things like that kind of come up in their traps, things like Mylar balloons, plastic bottles, it's incredibly frustrating and, it causes more time for them to go through their gear and do things. So it's a lot of different reasons that it's upsetting to fishermen to find marine debris in the water.
Now, what are some of the other impacts of marine debris that you've actually seen, experienced, things that you've known about?
So, in the boating industry, the boatyards and marinas usually check their moorings, which are those sort of anchors away from the docks, that people tie their boats up to, and they check those every spring. And we've heard about the boatyards that manage them noticing an increase in the number of derelict traps or lobster traps that are no longer attached to a buoy on the surface around their moorings. So that's definitely noticeable. Also, as Monique noted, marine debris can damage vessels. Loose rope and debris can damage a propulsion or engine system. So that's a concern. We also know, we hear about whales making the news, right? They're common in the news, how debris can impact their health. But other wildlife can be affected too, seabirds and turtles and microplastics on all organisms in the ocean. And then I'll just also note that this debris, doesn't select where it washes ashore. So it can impact islands that are uninhabited or maybe just inhabited by wildlife. If it washes ashore on some of these rural communities, such as Matinicus Island, town told me they have to remove their trash by 100% volunteer labor, but it still costs them about 40 to 50 cents a pound to remove their regular, household and municipal trash there. So they can't afford on a small community budget with volunteers to keep their island clean from debris that comes from all over the globe.
We've witnessed some of those environmental impacts as well on wildlife and the safety impacts. So marine debris is not only a safety concern when it's in the water, but also when it's on shore. If you have people picnicking on islands and exploring the shoreline, you don't want them tripping and falling on some rusty piece of metal or sharp piece of plastic or something. So there are sort of human hazards that extend to the shoreline as well. I think another one that's a particular concern to us at the Maine Island Trail Association is just the psychological impact and the toll it takes on people. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to instill a stewardship ethic in the people that are using these islands, which is easy to do when you show up to a place that is very clean and pristine. You are more inclined to leave it that way. But if you show up to a place that looks pretty trashed, it's kind of hard to see yourself as part of the stewardship equation there and wanting to care for it. So I think that's another impact that's maybe gets less attention, but it's certainly one we think about at MITA.
I think for Maine Coast Fishermen's Association and the fishermen with whom we work, it's also important to highlight the impact to seafood in with marine debris. Fishermen work very hard to have sustainable fisheries and provide good seafood for people to eat. And marine debris can have an impact on our seafood supply if there's lots of things in the water, trash in the water, even things like microdermabrasion beads from our face washes that end up in the water. That can all affect our fisheries and the seafood that we want to eat. So it's incredibly important to keep our waters clean to make sure that we have this amazing seafood supply from fishermen. I think this is sort of a different kind of impact, and we will all keep bringing this up, but fishermen are, again, incredibly frustrated by balloons that come up in their gear. And they see the impacts from that quite a bit. And very often will post about Mylar balloons on social media. I think they recognize more than anybody that, as you pointed out, Stacy, whatever we do on land, whether it's in Europe or in the United States, it all ends up back in the ocean. So it's incredibly important to be cognizant of what we're consuming and doing on land and how it can end up in the water. And that includes things like balloons. Unfortunately, I know they're often used for celebration, but that's temporary and they end up in the water forever.
Are there any losses to the industry, Monique? Say, for example, gear that gets detached by people not being responsible out there while they're cruising and boating. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Sure, and thank you for asking that question, Carrie. Commercial fishing gear is incredibly expensive. We primarily see lobster traps in the water in state waters that, sometimes there's two or five lobster traps attached to rope and buoys. And if somebody's potentially going quickly and cuts a line and some of the lobster traps are lost, that can be very expensive for fishermen. Sometimes they can find them, sometimes they can't. And it's especially heartbreaking if you think of like a young fisherman that's maybe 19 or 20 and they just got their license. They spent their savings to be able to buy their first gang of traps and then they lose them. That's pretty, it's disheartening, it's demotivating. And it's really important that we're mindful of where we are in the water to help fishermen maintain their gear because it is expensive and it's absolutely necessary for them to be able to do business. They need that gear.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Coastal Conversations here on WERU Community Radio at 89.9 FM and streaming online at weru.org. Our show today is about marine debris, or trash that makes its way into the ocean.
And we recorded a conversation that Carrie Kazor, who works on this problem for Maine Sea Grant, recently had with Monique Coombs of Maine Coast Fishermen's Association, that's who was just speaking in this clip, and Brian Markarell of the Maine Island Trail Association, and Stacy Kiefer from the Maine Marine Trades Association.
Now, what are some things that can be done about this issue? Any advice?
Sure. I would say the biggest thing is awareness and mindfulness. If you've been near the water, even on the shore, you know, it's common to lose something. It's often breezy by the water, you know, and something, or you're on a boat and something just falls. I've lost my favorite pair of sunglasses when I was a teenager and was devastated that they fell in the lake. But taking your time and just being aware of that, you know, is your hat tight enough and secure enough? You know, if the wind picks up or changes direction, or, you know, the speed of the boat increases, you know, do you have a holder for your eyeglasses or sunglasses? And then I think a big one, because we see so many food containers in ocean trash and marine trash. When you picnic, right? Everyone wants to go for a picnic on a beach or on a boat. Can you eat that food on the boat or near the water out of containers that won't easily be blown away? You know, like a potato chip bag or a candy wrapper, or those really lightweight plastic water bottles. We find so many of those. So I think that's one thing. And then, as Monique mentioned, you know, the traps can get detached from the buoys on the surface. And, you know, it's not something we like to bring attention to because it's not very glamorous, but recreational boaters can be a source of marine debris if they're running over lobster buoys and lines. And it's unknowingly often. They have gear on their propulsion system that protects their props, and it's like a automatic cutter in case a piece of line, whether that line is attached to anything or not, it will cut it. So we find it's especially important to take your time boating, slow down, avoid navigating in poor visibility. You know, if it's stormy, if it's rough, if it's foggy, or at night, do you really need to go full speed at night? It's probably not the safest idea anyway. So those are just a few things I would mention.
Yeah, and I'll echo some of that as well. You know, we leave no trace is a big sort of mantra, low impact boating. And that starts with our stuff, as Stacy was talking about, being responsible for it and with it, but also our behavior on the water, being mindful of how we're boating in and around fishing gear and so on and so forth. So that's a big one that really is kind of the first thing we can all do. I would add to that, get involved. Volunteerism is a big part of what the Maine Island Trail Association does. We do a lot of shoreline cleanups. We love to bring people out to clean up marine debris, and we'd love you to join us on those cleanups. You could lead your own as well, or you could just sort of keep a bag with you when you're out on your boat or exploring an island and pick up stuff along the way. Every little bit counts. It's sort of the invisible hand of stewardship that keeps this coast going. And we're all part of that. So volunteer, support the organizations that are doing that work, and be part of that yourself.
I have two things to consider. So first of all, I of course agree with Stacy and Brian, and those things are incredibly important. I think even for people that are potentially not boating, or they're just visiting Maine and then they're going back home, just being more mindful generally in your day and what you're doing about how much you're consuming and the type of products that you're using. So, you know, when you can, don't use disposable forks and knives. Try to just use regular silverware. Like, as Stacy pointed out, the light plastic bottles are very light, and so they tend to blow away. So, you know, reusable water bottles are incredibly important. In my opinion, reduce and reuse are the two most important pieces of reduce, reuse, recycle. So, you know, really be thinking about those things, because the less we consume and sort of have, the less stuff that's around, the less likely things are to end up in the ocean. And then the second thing I would say, of course, I have to make a plug for Eat More Seafood. Fishermen are out there and they're cleaning up a lot of our marine debris. When they pull stuff up in their traps or they see trash out on the water, they're very often bringing it in and trying to dispose of it. So it's important to support them, and eating more seafood is a good way to do that.
Can any of you share examples of how reusing, especially plastic items, can be beneficial, either at a personal level or fishermen that are reusing things out there instead of just single-use plastic, using it once and then tossing it? Any great examples?
I don't know if I have a specific example, but I am always taken with how fishermen use something until they absolutely can't use it anymore. So even from like the Carhartts that they will wear them until they just can't be worn anymore before they go buy new pants. They're incredibly practical in regards to how they think about what they're using and how they're using it. One, for cost efficiency, but two, it's truly, I think they just are mindful. So I think we can all take a note from that and just think about whether or not we need new things all the time, or if we can just use what we already have. And maybe consider that practicality of like, this is more cost effective, but with the also benefited or bonus outcome of things don't end up in the water. And I truly think fishermen, even their trucks, sometimes they use them until they're breaking down before they just run out and buy new ones. And that's something that we could all take note of.
And I'll just add that boaters, they're always bringing gear to the boat, their picnic. Their spare clothing, their sunscreen, and items they want aboard. And the plastic bags, they're going to tend to be the type that blow overboard easily. And so, that's the ideal scene where the cloth and reusable bags are ideal. And they, less chance of getting blown overboard in the wind as well.
So as we come towards the end of our show today, what are some key take-home messages you'd like the audience to walk away with?
I'd like people to know that we can all do better. And since there's not just one source of marine debris, there's not just one solution. So it's got to be a team effort. And just to not approach the debris you see that you're helping clean up, hopefully, with any blame in mind. So when I pick up debris, I find children's shoes, toys, food wrappers, those beverage containers we talked about. So it's not just fishing related items for sure. And we also, our coalition produced some signage and some information for tips to navigating around lobster buoys. And that's on our website. That is lovemainwaters.org. And we will be posting some videos on there later this year as well. So I hope boaters can take a look at that information.
Love Maine Waters is a great resource, and has content on there that we've all created and worked on, but also links to other content as well. You can really spend a lot of time exploring ways to be more responsible on the water and lower impact. One takeaway for me is I guess I would encourage people to see themselves as part of the caretaking and stewardship equation when they're out on the water, when they're out exploring beaches and shorelines. It's not, we're out there, we're having a good time, we're enjoying ourselves, but it's not just a resource for consumption, right? We all have a responsibility to take care of it. And I try to think about that whether I'm out on the coast or whether I'm hiking a trail or whether I'm at a park with my kid. It's not always the case that there are rangers and people out taking care of these spots. They need all of us to do our part. And that certainly is true out on the water as well. So I would encourage everybody who recreates on the coast of Maine to to see themselves as part of the stewardship equation and act accordingly.
I think the takeaway that I would love people to consider is that too often fishermen bear the brunt of the burden and punishment for problems in the ocean because they interact with and spend most of their time on the water. So if for some reason marine debris or environmental changes impact a stock of fish and fishermen have to change the way that they fish because of it, that's something to consider, that there's overarching impacts that can be for fishermen pretty severe. So the big takeaway, just to reiterate, you know, what Stacy and Brian said, is that we all contribute to the health of the Gulf of Maine. So though it's really important that we all remain mindful and support the health and well-being of the ecosystem, the Gulf of Maine ecosystem.
And Carrie Kazor here with Maine Sea Grant, just to close and reinforce that we're all in this together, that getting ahead of marine debris pollution, so once it's in the waterways, our shared ocean landscapes, it's very difficult to remove. So I'll quote good old Ben Franklin, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." That we're all in this together and we all have a role to play. Please don't hesitate to reach out to this community action coalition around marine debris if you'd like to join us, find out more information, get connected to how to get more involved in this issue. I do have to give a shout out to NOAA for funding this project through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and Inflation Reduction Act. We wouldn't be able to do as much as we're doing without that funding. So thank you.
That was Carrie Kazor from Maine Sea Grant leading a conversation about marine debris with members of a community action coalition working on reducing trash in the ocean. In addition to Carrie, the voices you heard on today's show include Stacy Kiefer from Maine Marine Trades Association, Brian Markarell from the Maine Island Trail Association, and Monique Coombs from the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. Thanks to all of you for being on the show today. Thank you for tuning in to this month's episode of Coastal Conversations. Join us on the fourth Friday of each month at 4 p.m. for information, stories, and conversations about the issues and people of the Maine coast. That great music you're hearing in the background is called A Following Sea and was composed and performed by Paul Anderson. On behalf of Maine Sea Grant and in partnership with Skudik Institute and the First Coast, we wish you a good weekend.